Before we begin, I just want to say, wow. I can't believe it's already August 1st. This summer has flown by for me, and many of you have told me the same. It's simply just been a pleasure to be with you all. Coming up here, I only knew 5 people. I knew of a couple more. Didn't really know them, though. But now I can look out, and I know hundreds of you. In this area, in the state, in the surrounding states, it's just been a blessing. I never stepped foot in Minnesota until May. And this may sound sad, but this is the farthest west I've ever been. So it's been nice to get a little traveling and get to know more people. Right away, you guys have been so welcoming, so encouraging, supporting to me. The very first Saturday I was here, after the Saturday morning Bible class, right away, like, let's go play whirly ball. I'm like, what is that? But that was just a very good experience. That was very small, but it made an impact on me. You guys reached out tremendously to me. I can honestly say I now have family up in Minnesota. So thank you. Thank you, guys. You know, I spent a lot of time with Rick, a lot of time with Andy. I learned a lot. I gained a lot from them, but they weren't my only teachers. All of you guys participated in that. You helped me grow. You helped me learn. You helped me become a better teacher, a better leader, and simply just a better Christian. So I want to thank you guys for that as well. In coming up here, I wasn't sure if this was what I wanted to do. I know that, like, I wanted to do the internship, but I didn't know for sure about what after. You know, I've been examining myself, checking myself, speaking with Rick and Andy, checking my motivations, checking my intentions. Why am I doing this? And Psalm 27 has really helped me grasp that, understand that better. And I would just like to go through it with you, ask you a few questions, help you ponder through it, to examine yourselves, evaluate yourselves, just as I have, and just as I will be doing again today. These questions aren't just meant for you, but they're meant for me as well. So we're going to be thinking about, what is our desire? What is my desire? What is your desire? Do you desire to go to heaven, to be with God? Do you view anywhere as home, as long as God is there? So let's begin reading in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead in me a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So, I'll just have four questions for you guys to think about that I've thought about from this psalm. And the first one is, what is your desire in this life? What are you seeking? What are you pursuing? It's something I've had to ask myself so much. Not just this summer, but before, and I will have to again in the future. So what are you longing for? What are you seeking? Now, initially, many of us would say we want to dwell with God. We want to go to heaven. We want to do His will. We want to be His servant. I certainly hope that's your answer, and I know that's the case for most of you. But do you mean it? Is it at the top of your list? Is it at the top of your priority? Is it number one? Look at verse 4. It says, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. Notice it says, one thing I have asked from the Lord. It doesn't say one of the things I have asked. It says one thing. It's at the top of David's list. So is serving God your priority? Are you seeking to get to heaven? Serving God is not acceptable to be anywhere else than number one. He's either reigning supreme for you, or He's not reigning at all. Second, third, anywhere else is not acceptable for God. He must be your priority. He must be your desire. Thinking about desires of this world, what is your desire leading to? Is your desire leading to death or to life? Is your desire that you want your own way, that you want whatever you think comes to your mind and that's what you want? Think of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10. They did whatever they wanted. They went above God's command. They cast strange fire. What happened to them? They were consumed by fire. Is power, is leadership your desire, your top desire? Think about number 16, Korah and his followers and his company. They sought authority. They sought to usurp God and who God had placed in charge. They wanted to take over command and not do it the way God had. And what happened? They were swallowed up by the ground. Is your desire possessions? We looked at Joshua this morning. Achan. They had the commandment to destroy everything, not take anything. What did he do? He saw the mantle. He saw the gold. And he desired it. And so he took it, disobeying God's command. And what happened? He was burned and he was stoned. Him and his household and his possessions. Is your desire to just simply fulfill yourself through sexual pleasures? Think about Proverbs 7, the naive man, is said to be like an ox led to the slaughter. He's slain. He's a victim of the woman who has many victims. Is your desire simply money? You're trying to acquire as much as possible, as much of this wealth on this earth as you can. It's a dangerous temptation. Judas fell in its trap and betrayed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for silver. Or do you simply just want man's praise, man's recognition over God's recognition of you? Think of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. You know, they were actually doing a good deed. They were selling their possessions and giving back to the Lord, but they had evil intentions, evil motivations. They wanted to be prideful. They wanted the praise of men. Look and see what I did, instead of simply serving the Lord and doing what they should have done. So what's the common thread between all these desires and so many more that I could have listed? They all directly led to death. What is your desire leading to? Seeking God, having a heavenly focus that leads to everlasting life. Jesus is the way. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. So many other things surrounded around life. Jesus does not lead to death, but he leads to life. Thinking about David, this is a psalm of David. David was called a man after God's own heart. We see that he's focused on God. Does that mean he was perfect? Does that mean he never sinned or messed up? No. Of course you guys know that. He has the sin with Bathsheba. He has the sin of the census and several other things. But why David was a man after God's own heart? He continually sought after the Lord, after the counsel of the Lord, trusted in him, lived his laws, meditated on them. He loved the laws of the Lord. Whenever he messed up, he always came back. He fully repented. He wanted to be cleansed by God. He didn't play around with God. He didn't play games with his salvation. When he messed up, he knew he was wrong. He admitted it and came back to God. Look at verse 4 once again. It says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's not just a portion. It's not just a few days. It's not just Sunday and Wednesday, but it's all the days of your life. David appears to have a forward-looking perspective, that there's something better beyond this world, that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. Look at verse 5 and 6. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. We see God is a deliverer. He's a savior. You see in verse 5 and 6 that he lifts us up. He lifted David up. But he can only do that if we first lift him up in our lives. If we put him first on our list. Is he your top desire? Is serving God, dwelling with him, serving the brethren, are those at the top of your list? He can only lift us up if we lift him up. Our purpose is to seek him, is to serve him, to glorify him, bring praise and honor to him. This life is not about us, but it's about serving God and for others. So how are we doing with that? Are we doing that desire? Are we fulfilling that desire? Are we seeking God and truly seeking him? And that brings us to the second question. I may have this desire to serve God. I may say that, but what am I doing about that? What are you doing about that? As I said, many of you I know love the Lord, are seeking the Lord. But what are you doing for his kingdom? What are you doing for him? What are you doing for your brothers and for your sisters? As we looked at in 1 John last week, it's not enough to just say you love God, to just say you love the brethren, but you need to do something about it. You need to prove it. So are we truly seeking God's presence? Are we truly wanting to do his will, to be his servant? We must do something. We can't just say it. We must have actions, not just words. As we saw in 1 John, if we say we're in the light, but we're walking in darkness, we're liars. If we say we know God, if we say we love God, but we're not doing His commandments and we're not loving the brethren, we're liars. So what are we doing for God's kingdom? What are we doing to prove we're seeking Him? Simply the phrase, take time to be holy. In Leviticus 11, 44 to 45, and throughout the rest of the book, repeated in 1 Peter 1 through 16, we must be holy for God is holy. God's holiness is emphasized throughout the Bible. And we are to be holy because we are His people. We are His possession. So are we holy? Are we taking time to be holy? Am I taking time? Are you taking time and spending it for the Lord? Look at verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Do we really view God this way? As our light? As our salvation? As our defense? Many of us would say, yes, He's our light. He's our salvation. But what are we doing to show that He is our light? Are we taking time out of our day and dedicating it to the Lord? This may seem silly to you to say, but I'm going to put JoJo on the spot here. So JoJo has a chocolate bar. And he comes up to me and he tells me, hey, I want to share this with you. I love you and I want to give you this. I want to share this with you. So I'm like, okay, I love chocolate. He reaches out with his finger and has a speck, a crumb of chocolate on his finger and says, here you go. I was like, I thought you were going to share it with me. What's that? He's like, I'm giving you some of the chocolate. And as you know with this illustration, technically he's sharing it with me, but he's not sharing it with me. And the same can be said with our time. We may say we love God, that He's our light, He's our salvation, but if we're just giving Him a speck of our time, a fraction of our time, are we really dedicated to Him? Are we really serving Him? Are we really loving Him? If you think about the number 1, the 1%, 1% of our day is about 15 minutes. 1% of our week would be about an hour, 45 minutes. How much time are you dedicating to the Lord? How much time are you taking to spend in prayer? To read and study, listen to God's Word, meditate on it. Serving your brethren, loving your brethren, being thankful. All those things. Do you have to try add up a bunch of things to just get to 2 hours in a week? Or is it a lot easier than that for you? Just really reflect on what are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for His people? How much time are you spending to be holy, to serve God, and not just simply living your life? Think about prayer. We said in verse 1, the Lord is our light. He's our salvation. He's our defense. How can we say that if we don't spend time with Him in prayer? If we don't speak to Him? If we don't get to know Him? If we don't cast on Him our cares, our burdens? How can we really say He's our light? He's our defense if we don't do any of those things? Just think about reading and listening to God's Word. David knew God's law. That's why he loved it so much. That's why he was dedicated to the Lord. Verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. How can He teach us His way if we're not in the Word? If we're not learning His law, putting it on our hearts? How can we know His law if we're not reading it, if we're not studying it? And just to add on to that, meditating on His Word, thinking on His Word. How often are we doing that? How can we grow? How can we better understand? How can we better grasp the things that God has given us within the Bible if we don't continually think about them, meditate on them? And simply having actions to serve God, having actions to serve the brethren. Once again, we must do something. We can't just say. Look at verse 2 and 3, and then we'll jump to verse 9. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. In these verses, we see evildoers, enemies, all these things coming against us. But God does not forsake us. He doesn't abandon us. He delivers. He saves us. He lifts us up. And so many times throughout my life, and I'm sure in yours, you have seen when things were difficult. You have seen when you weren't thinking right. But God was always there with you. Through His Word, through prayer, He's there. So how thankful are we for Him? Are we taking time to be thankful? Taking time to tell others about how thankful we are for all that God has done for us. He has proved to be our only source of trust, the only one that we can rely on. He doesn't abandon us, but He lifts us up. So how could we be ungrateful for that? We must continue to grow more and more like Jesus. It's a process. It's a journey. You don't just begin and you're a very mature Christian. It takes time, but it takes growth, and it takes effort. We cannot just say that serving the Lord is what we seek, but we must actually go out and seek and pursue Him. Otherwise, as 1 John said, we are liars. So again, just reflect on how are you spending your time? What are you doing in your pursuit of heaven? In your pursuit of serving God? That's something I've had to think about a lot. Because being here, I've dedicated all my time to that. But I'm about to go back to Florida. I'm about to go back to college. Being in a completely different environment, having classes and living in the dorms and all these other things. Will I still find time? Make time to pray. Make time to meditate, to read, to listen. Because there are a lot of distractions. So how will I do the rest of my life? That's something that I continue to think about and I will need to continue to think about. I hope you guys will as well. And that kind of brings us to the third question. What is my desire? What am I doing for that desire? But what about distractions? As I mentioned, there's a lot of distractions in this life. This life is not going to be easy. There's opposition to the light. There's enemies and evildoers, as we saw in verse 2 and 3. There's worldly pleasures that are trying to pull our attention, trying to pull our time and focus away from God. There's pain, there's suffering, there's evil in this world that people try to use to take away glory from God. Will we do the same? We can't let these distractions take us away from our salvation. I can't let these things take me away from God, who sent His Son to die for me, who sent His Son to give me the opportunity of salvation, to give you the opportunity of salvation. He died for you. He died for me. Will we appreciate that? Will we let some small, minute thing take us away from the path of salvation? Remember at the end of verse 3, despite the evildoers, despite the enemies, despite all these things, I shall be confident. We cannot let things of this world take us away from salvation. Remember that God is the protector. He's our guide. He's our leader. He doesn't abandon. He doesn't forsake. He's our deliverer. You know, last week, I was driving early in the morning to the church building. It was storming quite a bit, lightning all over the place. So, of course, I turn on the windshield wipers, as many of you have done hundreds of times. When you turn on the windshield wipers, do you crash immediately? Because you start watching the wipers go across your face? Or do you look through the wipers? Do you look through to your destination, to your goal, to where you're going? I turned on the wipers. I've seen lightning go across the sky in front of my face. Did I just stop and stare at the wipers, stop and stare at the lightning? Or did I keep coming to the church building? Did I keep going to my destination? We have to keep our eyes on the road. We have to keep our focus and attention onto the end goal of serving God and getting to heaven. It's so simple to think about that you look through your wipers in the car, that you look through to your goal. Why is it so much different for our walk with God, for our journey with God, to see our destination of heaven? But too often, I and you have allowed the wipers to distract us. Look forward. Stay focused. Do not let anything affect your salvation. I'll read a verse from a hymn. Just listen to the words very carefully. It says, "I thank thee that all our joy is touched with pain, that shadows fall on brightest hours, that thorns remain, so that earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain." You know, initially you may think, that's a weird verse. Why would we want pain with our joy? Why would we want thorns to remain? Why would we want shadows on brightest hours? Well, pain, suffering, evil, those terrible times simply serve as a reminder that this world is not our home. We have something far better than here. We cannot grow too content here. We cannot fall in love with this world, but we must, again, look forward. Look to heaven. Look to God. Seek as David did in verse 4, that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Is that what you're seeking? And the fourth question I would like for you to think about is simply, what will God see me as? What will God call me? What will He recognize me as? Think about Esau in Genesis chapter 25. He allowed a simple bowl of soup to take away his birthright. Will we let one moment of pleasure, one small sin, take away so much from us, take away our salvation? I certainly hope not. I have a friend, he has a shirt, it says, "It doesn't affect my salvation." And he wears that as a reminder that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take away our salvation unless we turn away, unless we back away from God, turn our backs on Him, and leave Him. We must remember to press on, that the things here, they don't affect our salvation. But remember what Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, "Forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Press on to heaven. And in thinking about that and pressing on, how will God know you? Will people know that the Lord was my light, was your light, was my salvation, was your salvation, that He was my defense, that He was your defense? Will people know that, or will they be surprised to find out that you're a Christian? Are you a Christian seeking heaven? Can other people see that without you telling them? Are they surprised if you tell them that you believe in God? Or did they already know because of your behavior, because of your actions, because of your service? So what will you be remembered by? What will you be known for? What will I be remembered by? Will people know me as loving, as selfless? Will people know you as selfless, as servants, as seeking to serve God? But more importantly than what people think about me, what people think about you is what God will think about me, will think about you. You know, God calls David a man after his own heart. If God was talking about you, insert your name. Could he say, my servant so-and-so is a man or a woman after my own heart, that they want to serve me and they have done so? Think about when the accuser comes to God and they're talking about Job. God says, have you seen my servant Job? He's blameless. He's upright. He fears the Lord. If God was talking about you to the accuser, could he say the same? Have you seen my servant who fears me, who loves me, who has lived their life for me? Could God say that about you? Could God say that about me? You know, if judgment came right now, what would God say to you? Would he say, well done, good and faithful servant, come in? Or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? If the answer you come up with frightens you or scares you, that the Lord, that God might not know you, that he might tell you to depart, you need to fix that. You need to change that. You need to turn your life to serve God, to serve others. Is that your desire? To be his servant. So what would he say to you? How would he know you? There are certainly things in this life that are difficult. Giving your life to God may not appear easy on this earth. It may not be easy to sacrifice various things such as convenience or maybe a little bit of made fun of or something. It may be difficult to continually trust and wait in the Lord when it seems like he's not hearing, when it may appear that he's not there, that we're just waiting on him. It may be difficult. There are various other things that you could say that are difficult, but it's all worth it. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. So what is your desire? What are you seeking? Are you seeking to serve God? Are you seeking to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? To behold his beauty, to gaze upon his beauty and his glory, to meditate in his temple? Or are you simply not seeking that? Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. If you're not a Christian, why not? God loves you. He has sent his son to die for you. Maybe you have become a Christian. You simply haven't been serving God. You've lost the desire that you once had when you became a Christian. You've lost the love that you had for God, the desire to serve him. Maybe you've lost that. You want to change that. You want the prayers of the congregation. You want to make that right. Whatever your spiritual needs may be, please make them known as we stand, as we sing.